Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio. 7:07 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
How you doing, Mel?
Oh, pretty good. How about you?
Doing good. Doing good. Doing better than the traffic in front of me here. We had a huge line. Longer than I've ever seen over here by the roundabout. I'm pretty sure everybody's heading to school over at Rams there over on our side of town here. But hopefully everybody's going. It looks like it's moving now. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to start doing traffic reports, Mel.
That'll be interesting.
But specifically right here in front of me. That's all I'll cover. That's
the
it.
The only traffic report.
But I got this on lockdown. I got this
news
locked down
at the roundabout.
Yes. That actually sounded pretty good. We got a lot of other fun things we're going to get into this morning. We've got the top 10 healthiest cereals. And by healthy, ooh, I mean that in quotations.
Not sugar. Fruit Loops didn't make the list.
We're going to find out. I hope it did. We're going to find out.
I hope so.
We have 20 examples of when a little goes a long way.
Okay.
That's going to be a fun one to get into. And science has engineered a way to make beer taste better.
Really?
Yeah, it's called Miller. It's called Miller Lite. It's
not wrong. Wrong.
All that coming up for you. Of course, in just a little bit, we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. Looking forward to that. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. In the 9 o'clock hour, got some entertainment news, Danny Wright stories, good stories of the day, and a bunch of more things lined up. We're going to give you a chance to win some tickets to the Linda Ronstadt Experience. It's tonight. Going on at the Performing Arts Center at 7:30. We got some River Kings tickets we'll try to get out there in your hands as well. All that coming up. And then we kick off Morning Magazine for the day. A really special episode today, Melissa. In part one, we are going to catch up with our old friend, Representative Katrina Shanklin of the 71st Assembly District.
Nice.
We are going to be focusing on the new $10 million grant program that is available for people with water quality issues.
Good.
We're going to spend the whole half an hour diving into that, talking about that. And I cannot wait because it kind of feels like it's been too long since we've been able to get back to this topic with the pandemic and different things going on in the world. The political, landscape takes over as far as when voting gets in and we get into this season. And meanwhile, people are still struggling with their water.
Well, and more water issues have come to light with the PFOs. And the PFAs that they're finding more quantities of in our groundwater and surface waters. So it's good to have that conversation.
Yeah, you want to tag team it with me? you know your stuff, too. We might have to do that sometime. Looking forward to Katrina joining us. Should be a really – it always will be. It's always a good conversation. Mm-hmm. Part two, another good one, Matt Lippert, agricultural agent with UW Extension. We are going to actually continue some of that conversation, I believe, with Matt. Just talking water quality regarding our farmers and our ag industry.
Yeah. Also, super important.
Yeah. And got a bunch of other things I want to talk about with Matt as well, because I just don't get to talk agriculture that often. And it's honestly, Melissa, in the time I've been doing Morning Magazine, probably the subject matter that I've fallen in love with more than any other. I'm fortunate. I'm spoiled. I get to talk to two different people about two different topics every day, Tuesday through Friday. And I've been fortunate to learn a lot, like, JRN this week about real estate and some other things. The ag industry, whether it was Rachel Whitehair or Matt Lippert or anybody else that joins us, I'm learning so much every time these people join us and how important it is. Yesterday was National Farmers Day. Seems like a good time to learn more and more about that industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, ag is so important to our state.
Yeah. And then a little bit later today at 6:05, join us on these airways for the Jim Leonard Show. Coach Leonard, of course, your Wisconsin Badger football team will be joining us. Find out how week one, his first game coaching went, how he's planning for this week's game. We will be covering that. That'll be here on these airwaves on Saturday at 1 o'clock, Wisconsin taking on Michigan State over there in Spartanville.
Nice.
All that coming up for you. And also wanted to mention as well that we're very proud to be able to say this, that today we are going to be airing something special. The House Committee investigating the January 6th attack on the Capitol was rescheduled. Its next potential final hearing is for today. Mm-hmm. That will begin at noon. Our coverage will start right then today. Mm-hmm. I believe that means we won't have all of Kristen's show. So that's a shame. You know what, though? I'll head over there and we'll go have coffee or something. We'll keep her busy.
There you go.
I don't want her to be bored. I don't want you know.
No. She'll probably be listening.
And more importantly, I'm sure she will be. I'm sure a lot of us will be. I know.
I hope so, because this is important.
I rescheduled a meeting so that I could hear it. Just so that I can make sure that I was able to catch it, you know, for our job. It is part of our job nowadays.
Yes.
But more importantly, I think that every American should be listening to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you're not, honestly. It's
pay attention.
Well, we don't want it to happen again, right?
I mean, no.
What happened after 9/11? We went on lockdown.
We rallied together.
Yes. Yes. Most importantly, we did that, Melissa.
Yeah.
And that's the key point. That is certainly the better point here, I think. But we rules changed, things changed, we assembled, we aligned, and we adjusted to them. And I don't know, it seems like we've had a safer country since then to me. There's certain things
in some ways, yes,
we have to do to make sure that certain things don't happen again. We cannot allow something like that happened on January 6th to happen again.
No.
And there's ways to do that. I think that you hit it on the head about the best solution, and that's us coming together, us getting along, us realizing that we have more in common than not.
And protecting our democracy.
How about the fact that the majority of the time that it is two parties pulling us apart while they're sitting there laughing and gaining money? You know, I mean, there's that. there's a lot of that stuff that, you know, this committee has been diving into, and they've been doing some great work with it, so it'll be interesting to hear that a little bit later today. We'll have that for you right on our airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Also wanted to mention real quick, on our sister station WIRI, Wisk Country 105.5, not only will you have some great high school football on the radio tomorrow, 6:50, our pregame will start off as Nakusa is taking on Wittenberg Burningwood. Randy and I previewed a little bit of that on Monday's Playmakers. Randy's going to be calling that one. Should be a very good game. But we also, of course, are your home for the Wisconsin Rapids River Kings. We are going to be covering every home game of your River Kings all season long. Looking forward to that. Be sure to follow the Kings as they build hockey up and down the river. And you can get your tickets at riverkingshockey.com or be listening, because sometime between now and 10, we're going to give you a chance to win those tickets.
Ooh, today? We're giving them away.
Giving them away today, Melissa.
Nice.
Should be fun. A lot more fun than this might have been. I like to really push the envelope with radio. I was really encouraged back in the day from Chuck, our engineer, and really still is, but he's our GM now.
Yeah.
Doing a radio that reaches people that is real, that isn't the kind of like staunchy kind of radio that we all kind of grew up with, and that, you know, has been around for a long time, where Melissa and I interact like this, and we're very proper, and we never say any, you know, words that might not be used on radio or anything like that. We choose to do real radio, and it's something that we've been emboldened to, and as we've seen, we've had two different owners. We didn't have that because we're not doing something right around here. Just to be blunt, I'm sorry if that sounds egotistical, but we've all worked very hard under this building to make things work around here.
Mm-hmm.
I like to push things. I like to come up with different ideas. I think that we got some fun stuff lined up for you behind the scenes, everybody. But I feel bad, Melissa. I feel bad for our audience. I want to apologize to everybody that I did not think of this idea. Yesterday was, of course, National Face Your Fears Day. And a few of our colleagues from Down Under did a segment that got a little too intense.
Uh-oh.
A radio host in Sydney, Australia, named Erin Molan, agreed to face her fear of spiders by letting a small tarantula crawl across her hand.
Ooh.
And she did this live on the radio.
Uh-oh.
Now, I didn't... I wish I would have thought of something like this, Melissa. This is pretty good radio. This is, you know, exciting. It's interesting. But it turned out she was more afraid of them than anyone realized. They brought in a listener to do it first, and that went okay. But even during that, you could hear Erin in the background already having a panic attack.
Oh, no.
And when it finally was her turn, she kept saying she still wanted to do it. But then before they even put the spider on her, she fainted live on the air. Poor thing.
Poor girl.
I feel so bad for her. I've never had anything like I've gotten the hiccups a number of times. Not really in my time in talk radio. I did once, I think, early on. It usually seemed to happen in my classic rock days. I've had times where I lost my voice. You know, things like that. I've never had anything like this before. I've never like fallen asleep. I've known DJs that have fallen asleep on the air, like on their shift. I've known people that have like hurt or broke something like on the air. There was a gentleman that I, a program director that I worked for in California, I still talk to, great gentleman. Good morning to you, Clyde. He broke his foot rushing to the bathroom during trying to get, and then he hurt it even worse because he was rushing. He didn't know he broke it. He was rushing to get back.
And
he had an 8-hour shift that day.
Oh man, yeah. I bet that was a little swollen by the end.
I mean, I never really healed right either. He showed it to me, which I he didn't need to do that. I didn't need the evidence.
No, it really happened, man. Look,
I've heard of that stuff. I've never heard of something like this. The fact that there's a listener in the room, and there's got to be somebody putting the spider on her, or the tarantula on her, I imagine, and probably a zoologist, a veterinarian, somebody like that, I would imagine. So that's going on, and the only person that knows how to run that board, maybe she had a producer, but it doesn't look like it. It looks like they're a little bit like how we are, Melissa, where we're our own producer. So there's nobody there to run the board. There's nobody there that knows how to do anything.
To take her off air.
Thankfully, she's okay. Honestly, you guys know the show by now. We're not talking about this if something happened to her. She's okay. She was back up and laughing about 4 or 5 minutes later. But again, if you know anything about radio, 30 seconds is 5 hours.
That's a long time.
Oh, man. They had to cut the segment short and go to commercial. they posted a video of the whole thing. You can check it out on their Facebook. They don't really give you the call letters here or anything like that. I would love to give them a shout out to our listener, our friends down under and everything. I imagine if you type in Aaron Molan, that's M-O-L-A-N, and radio announcer or Australia, if you throw it into your search engine, something that's bound to come up.
Probably.
I can't think of any, I don't have any fear like this. I don't have anything necessarily that would make me faint. Other than maybe somebody that I don't know coming into the room and telling me they're pregnant, that would probably make me faint. That might do it.
I don't even
know this person. How did this happen? I went and boom, I'm out. But at the very least, well, today would be an interesting one because you're of course in Abbotsford. I don't know.
I really can't help you much.
No, you might be able to carry the show for a little bit, but I don't know how long.
Please don't faint.
Yeah, see what I can do. I'll try to work that into the schedule here. I did have fainting scheduled for 7:35, so I will rework that for you.
Make sure you cut to my news first, because fainting only lasts a certain amount of time. You know, usually wake up pretty quickly.
I tell you what, that's definitely what we'll do. We'll do that after we come back from our National Day of Calendar coming up with Melissa and James right here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you at 7:21 on the clock. Time to get into our National Day of Calendar for this October 13th, 2022. It is World Sight Day. It's a good
important
one. Certainly a good day to remember to get your eyes checked if you haven't. I will say this real quickly. I hadn't had glasses for years, Melissa, and about a year or two ago I got them, and I didn't realize how much I had been missing having that freedom of from contacts. And my eyes feel like they can breathe more.
Right, having the option.
I also feel like I see a little bit better sometimes in them. I guess it depends on the day and in certain things, but it reminded me of how important it is to be able to see. And I'd like to tend to put a and you'd like to use my black belt in Jewish guilt for a second, Melissa, on my mother and father, because they have money, they have insurance, they could do something about this, but they buy those glasses that you can get at like the department store and everything.
Oh yeah, like readers.
And those, there's nothing wrong with those, but those are good if you've already had your eyes checked and you know your prescription much better. Your eyes change literally every 6 months, year of your life. And you may get you have to usually get a checkup if you want contacts every year and everything. So you might not notice a difference, but I guarantee your eye doctor does. So, Mom and Dad, get your eyes checked. My mother loves to read more than anything else in the free world. You'd think she'd want to have good eyes to be able to do it. Yet, I can't guilt them or talk them into doing this.
Corrective lenses are very important to have correctly prescribed.
People should be able to see. Like, yes. It's one of the...
Especially to read.
Yeah, yeah. Take care of your eyes, everybody, and get them checked out.
Your Jewish guilt is also falling on me because I have put off making an appointment. I'll do it.
Thank you, Melissa. And I do apologize. I haven't gotten that good with the direct, like the you know, accuracy with my guilt. I'm still working.
Yeah, it's a little blanket.
It does. It is a
little
bit.
Sorry, listeners, if any of you are also feeling guilty, you can commiserate with me.
Yeah, I do apologize. However, I won't apologize if it makes anybody else out there get their eyes checked. That I won't apologize for. But the guilt part, yes, I do feel bad for. It is also Disaster Day. Yikes. No one wants to experience a disaster, but those who are ready and prepared will fare better if it happens. Being proactive is what the International Day of Disaster Reduction is all about. So International Day of Disaster Reduction puts efforts towards engaging in thinking that includes disaster preparedness and pre-disaster action instead of simply relying on post-disaster responses. Mm-hmm. The United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization founded this day back in 1989. Certainly an important one. And, you know, this is the reason everything from when you're a kid and your mom and dad go through tornado exercises with you or fire exercises.
Fire drills.
Yeah, fire drills. In school when we went through these things. And certainly on an adult level where you just, you know, I think most of us want to have that plan B set up and not be trying to figure it out when there's something bad happening.
That's right. And this is especially, you know, noteworthy since we had kind of a surprise tornado warnings across the lower part of our state yesterday.
They were as prepared as people can really be as far as information, as far as getting the word out and the preparedness that they did down in western Florida. And they were still rocked. They're still hit hard. They're still hurting down there. Mm-hmm. We're still encouraging people to donate or help down there any way you can. And we say good morning to our Florida listeners out there. That's what happens when you're already prepared. To be taken off guard by these things, you know, and not have a game plan can be even worse, a lot worse. And this is why, you know, these things are important. It's good to prepare for these things. Hopefully you never have, that's a, you know, a lesson plan you never have to even pull out and use, but you want to have it there in case.
Yes.
It's, I want to say this maturely and everything, so I don't, laugh while I'm saying it. Darn it. Okay.
Sorry.
Mature hat. Okay. It is National No Bra Day.
It's a good day.
It seems like it. I celebrate this every day. It is something.
You're not wearing a bra today, James?
No, never have. It would just fall off me. I don't really have much for pecs. I have no idea about this day. Got no idea what I'm talking about. I will say one thing. There's never been a girl that I dated that I didn't know she wasn't in for the night or wasn't finally going to be comfortable when that thing came off. Mm-hmm. When that thing came off, like we were done for the night, that we were not going out, nothing else was going on, and she was much more relaxed. She was much more comfortable. Yes.
Well, and it is a day to encourage awareness about breast cancer. So that is the point of the day. But it also is a good day to have a conversation about the bra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I especially have been noticing, and I haven't shopped for them yet, but I have been noticing that there are more options for bras that don't contain underwire or bras that fit comfortably to women's bodies, because, you know, the initial bra when it was designed was not necessarily made for comfort or support. It was more made for looks.
Yeah.
I mean, and this is coming from an uneducated opinion because I haven't thoroughly researched this. That is what I have, you know, taken in.
No, that you're correct.
Throughout life, because I don't know, every bra I've ever owned for the majority of my life have not been comfortable.
And it's a good assumption what you're saying about the history of the bra. Actually, way back in the day, I want to say Allie and I went through this one, and we're going through it on this particular day, talking about this. Mm-hmm. And the history of it. I mean, the first 100 designs were all, more than that, first well over 100 designs, all men designing them. And we're all designed from their perspective and what they want.
Of what would look good.
Yeah, yeah. And that's obviously not what the purpose of it is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and if you just look at women's fashion over decades, let's talk about corsets for a minute.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah.
Those were not good for women's bodies, number one. I mean, you're crushing the rib cage.
The rib cage is not supposed to do that.
Squishing the internal organs just so that you could have an hourglass figure? That's not how women's bodies were made to be.
I try to find light moments and ways to ease into topics and everything. But I do appreciate what you mentioned there, because yes, this day is certainly specific about the bring awareness to breast cancer. My grandmother fought it, beat it twice, and the third time she wasn't able to, and we lost her. My mom checks herself, my sister, they check themselves, and I hope my daughters do. And this is important. It's an important one to talk about, to bring awareness to especially for these survivors, to not only hopefully give them a rallying point, cheer them on, but take away a lot of the stigmas that are involved with many things that are involved with surviving breast cancer. Mm-hmm. Every year, hundreds of thousands of new cases of breast cancer occur in the United States alone, with approximately 250,000 of them being invasive forms of breast cancer, and an additional 2,600 cases being found in men.
Yes, it is becoming more commonly found in men.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that means that we'll actually get something done about this. Sorry.
Sad, but true.
I know.
Honestly.
But the opinions don't, I don't need to always throw my opinion in there. I shouldn't do that. National No Bra Day encourages women everywhere to go without their bra to raise awareness for breast cancer and the challenges that those with it faces. If you know someone who has been affected by breast cancer or just want to help continue the fight against it, National No Bra Day is an opportunity to help those around you know the fight is ongoing and you are not fighting alone.
Correct. I lost my mother to breast cancer, and she went through she had a full mastectomy twice, actually, and had to wear a bra just so that she could feel comfortable going out in public. Because women, it's so put on women by society to look a certain way, to be a certain way. The loss of something like your breasts would have a severe impact on your well-being, on your mental well-being, on your physical well-being, and obviously the implications of cancer as well. So it is an important day. But also just a fun day to not wear your bra.
Yeah, that part is really nice too. Thank you for sharing that, Melissa. I want every guy out there to imagine losing what they cherish most in the world. You don't need me to tell you what that is. Imagine that. Imagine that. What did that make you? How would you walk about your day? How would you feel about your life after that? How do you feel your friends would treat you? How society would treat you? Just take a minute to put yourself in that position, because we have no equivalent as men. But I do hope that it creates some empathy in men. And as we touched on it, this is something that has no preference. It doesn't just look for a woman or a man or for a woman. It goes for men and women being attacked by this horrible virus and this disease. So maybe we can have some empathy out there. Maybe get along a little bit better and start fighting these diseases instead of each other, because these diseases are running game on us.
Yeah, they
are.
They don't care.
Day in and day out, hundreds, thousands of people are still dying from all of these things, whether it's cancer, HIV, or COVID even. Mm-hmm. And we continue to bicker and fight like children while these things go on. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you want to vote for somebody different than me or you or whatever, your neighbor or something like that. That's fine. Just get along. Let's make sure, let's start beating up on these diseases instead of each other.
That would be nice.
And while we're doing it, let's have some M&Ms, Mel.
Oh,
it's right. National M&M Day.
Yum.
I love M&Ms.
They're pretty good.
Yeah. Invented in 1941, these tiny little perfect bits of candy-coated chocolate have made a huge impact on American history throughout their more than 80 years of life. The inspiration behind M&Ms started during the Spanish Civil War. When Forrest Mars Sr. of the Mars Company, who lived in England at the time, began making small bits of chocolate with a candy shell coated that would keep them from melting as easily.
Yeah, melts in your mouth, not in your hand.
Yeah. Following this inspiration, M&M were created by the Mars Candy Company, and these little candies have brought joy to millions of people over the years. There are about 80,000 different types of M&Ms now.
At least.
There's so many good ones. I like trying all the new ones. I don't. Mm-hmm. There's not too many. I like. There was a cookies and I think a cookies and cream one that I really like, but they changed the bag and now they're cookies and scream.
Oh really?
Yeah, I like that. They're no different. They're no different.
For, October. I saw some on sale. I don't remember what store I was in, and they were. It was a pretzel. It was like a cookies and cream, but it had a pretzel in there, and it was white chocolate. I almost got them for you, except for the white chocolate.
Thanks for thinking of it, though. Yeah. M&M's are great. Have some M&M's today. Mm-hmm. While you're walking around without a bra. Right, there you go. You know, just enjoy both. Enjoy both.
Why not? Live free.
And there you go. And it's a great day to National Train Your Brain Day. Mm. Every day, humans have one particular muscle that can't be taken away from them. It shapes everything they do and informs the details about how they experience the world around them. In actuality, this isn't really an actual muscle at all, but it is easily more powerful than even the strongest muscle in your body. The mind can make people sick or make them well. It can drive them to see deception and paranoia in the actions of others, or simply allow them to perceive other humans just trying to get along in life. National Train Your Brain Day recognizes the power of the mind and how training it to be positive can change human lives as a whole. There is truly something to this. I am living proof of this. You knew me 10, 15 years ago. You wouldn't barely recognize me now. I think that has a lot to do with old man time. No, I'm just kidding. It's more about my attitude, the way I approach life, and the perspective I have. I'm not a rainbow and sunshine kind of person or anything like that. That's not really what I think of when I think of having a positive mindset in every day. To me, it is I'm going to get through this day no matter what. And I'm going to do it, and I'm going to treat as much of the world in a positive way as I can. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start the day without having my fists clenched or without my mind being prepared for, what horrors are waiting for me here or that or anything. Yeah. Right?
Because if you expect the worst, that's what you're going to find.
When you do this whole thing of retraining your brain, it's an everyday thing to start off with. But I promise that eventually
it gets easier.
It becomes something that's like a reflex when the doctor hits your knee and your knee mm-hmm. just immediately pops out. I swear it's just like that. And if I can do this, literally anybody can do this. It's within your reach.
The brain is an amazing, complex, convoluted, ridiculous thing in our bodies. It really is. Because there is so much that our brains throw at us that we don't necessarily have to take or believe. You mm-hmm. don't have to believe everything your brain tells you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You also, there's a lot of times, and this comes from years of therapy, because it has really helped me to understand better the thought processes that I have and how sometimes it's important to hear a thought your brain is telling you and say, okay, thank you for your opinion. I'm going to move on now.
Right on.
Because that isn't important and it doesn't need to affect me. I'm a serious overthinker. I overthink everything. Mm. And sometimes that sends me down paths in my own brain that I circle and circle and circle. And I know that if I just, okay, well, I hear you, but I'm not going to fall into that today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to focus on this instead. I'm going to focus on the sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah.
The positives.
You're in charge. You're in charge of your brain. You have thoughts, and you don't like those thoughts. You keep moving. You know, mm-hmm. You are in charge. It's your brain. We just need to be reminded of that from time to time. Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. We'll go to Melissa's news. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody.
I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld.
Mornings on WFHR. Locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, although Seth is making his presence known.
Yes, he is. Thanks, Seth.
I did not get a chance to talk to him about this beforehand, but I noticed today on our screen that I use here to play our commercials or snippets and different things like, you know, Homer or our winning bell or any of that kind of stuff, Seth has over here Halloween bumpers.
Nice.
I did not know what was going to happen when I clicked it, but I couldn't help myself, and I'm really glad that worked out. I'm really
I'm glad you pushed the button, James.
Yeah, yeah.
Way to take a risk.
Yeah, every once in a while, you got to do it, right? That was a good one. That's good. Nice stuff. Nice work there, Seth. So how long in advance would you start packing your bags for a brief weekend getaway? Not surprising, plenty of people don't need much time. In a poll, 18% of people said that they do it the same day they leave. 27% will start the day before, and another 20% of people need a couple of days. But 5% of people start packing 1 week before or even earlier than that. Men are far more likely to pack the day they leave for the weekend trip, and boomers are more likely to pack at the last minute than younger adults.
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
That surprises me.
And I know you aren't going to believe this, but the numbers are pretty much exactly the same between liberals and conservatives. I know, shocking, but guess what, everybody? Shocking. You got a lot more in common with each other than you realize.
Mm-hmm.
Even this. You even pack for vacation the same way. So maybe that's the common ground. I don't know.
There we go.
Time needed to pack for a short trip, that'll bring us all together. If we just have every one of our politicians, this is all they talk about.
More of us should be taking short trips.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mm-hmm. wholeheartedly agree with that. It's something that I know I'm trying to work into my life a little bit more, and I know other people that are. Got a good friend of mine that's something that he's been working on with his family to take more weekend trips. Him and his wife worked so hard throughout the whole year long, but this summer in particular to keep their business afloat. And they were successful, but now they're realizing they kind of didn't do anything with their kids all summer. And so now there's a lot of people in that boat, and more and more the people that don't even realize they're in that boat, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate that I've got people in my life that encourage me to do this. Otherwise, I guarantee you, I wouldn't have even thought about it. Like, it wouldn't even be something that crosses my mind as far as taking a break or any of these things. Sometimes people need that. We have a tendency to get kind of caught up and get a tunnel vision or get a work going and get a, you know, that work ethic turns into a bit of a work hunger. And you know, you're always hungry. You're always eating.
It's like a habit. That's what I do. So I just keep doing it. But taking a weekend away is kind of a mixed bag, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So, for instance, last weekend, and granted, this wasn't just a drive somewhere, be somewhere, drive home. I drove every single day because I was driving to Rapids on Friday for work and then drove to Marshfield on Saturday and then Rapids Saturday. And then I drove to Stevens Point on Sunday. And after a weekend of that, And granted, these things I was going to do were fun,
mm-hmm.
and I was spending time with friends, enjoying. I got to go to the theater. I was exhausted by the end of the weekend. And you get to the end of the day on Sunday and go, oh, what was this?
Yeah, yeah.
This wasn't a weekend.
Did not feel like you had a day off, a day of rest.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I think that's a part of the thing that keeps a lot of us from doing it is like, you mm-hmm. know, oh, I could go do this or that, or I could just sit down and relax and rest and not have to, you know, do this, this mm-hmm. or this or whatever, you know?
Well, and when we were talking about getting away for a weekend and like, well, okay, if we do, there's the pack up travel and that, but then once you're away, you're not at home. You don't feel the pressures of doing the things that you would if you did spend just a day at home. Because, be real, James, if you just spend a weekend at home, what are you going to do?
Work.
Yeah.
You're going to work.
You're going to do housework. You're going to do other work. You're going to do things that, well, I need to get this done. So the getting away for a weekend is important because you're out of your environment. You're somewhere else. And the chances of actually relaxing your brain are higher.
That is definitely not one of the things I would have thought of when it comes to this subject. I'm glad you said that. I genuinely didn't even think of that. That you wouldn't, you know, and you have to be away from it to really experience it. That makes a lot of sense. Do you need a lot of time to prepare to pack for like your trip last weekend and stuff?
Nah.
yeah, I hear
nope.
you.
Nope. As long as I got my contacts, my glasses and my contact solution, I can go in a split second.
I kind of am used to that, just being a literal gypsy myself, you know, in my family the way we are. But I will say, too, if I have the time and it's a big trip and I know I'm gone for more than a weekend, I do like to take my time, like throwing things in my suitcase that I know I'm not going to need until the trip. So, because I know I will forget them if I don't. Mm-hmm.
If it's a longer trip, that makes sense.
But yeah, your weekend trip.
But if it's just a weekend, you could make do without pretty much anything as long as you have some, you know, necessary medications. And for me, glasses.
Yeah, same here. That's
exactly. Can't be blind.
First thing I'm making sure of is I have my glasses, my contact, you know, all that. That's as long as I got that, I'm with you. You know, let's go. Let's go. We'll start the car. Let's go. And let's go to break. We'll come back and have some more fun here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR. No, not yet. Not yet. Wait your turn, CBS.
I'm excited.
I know. Out there. CBS gets so excited about doing their news, and I have to tell them almost every morning, look, guys, we'll get to you at the top of the hour. Just hang in there, okay?
Just drummers, hold your sticks.
Hold your sticks. Melissa and James here with you. And this is an interesting one, Melissa. The amount of people that wake up feeling stressed. A lot of people, especially if you're looking at TVs or movies or commercials or anything like that, people wake up with the clouds singing to them and smelling the air like a coastal Italian villa.
The birds come in.
Striding across their luxurious bedroom and all these things. And for a lot of other people, it can be a horrible experience. I would say out of the 7 days a week, 6 of those days are I wake up and I'm not the opposite of what I have. Use last night as an example. We've the Katrina Shanklin interview today. We had a 66-page report on this grant program and water quality in these. I went through it a little bit the other day. I really wanted to make sure that I was up to date for the conversation today.
Right.
So I went through it. I started to go through some of it last night and was like, well, okay, I'll pick at it and just to refresh. I ended up going through the whole thing and was up late. Ended up crashing half of my body on the floor, half of me on the bed. And I wake up this morning. And I've got plenty of time to get here, but I like to get here a little bit earlier than usual. So I was running about 10 minutes late. I woke up, and that was the first thought that hit my head. I'm 10 minutes late. I turn into the Darren Rabbit from Alice in Wonderland. I'm late. And that's all I'm thinking about until I actually get here and take a sip of my coffee. And I'm okay. All right. Everything's cool. Everything's relaxed.
Take a breath.
Yeah. But I that's a typical morning for me. That's how a lot of these things go. And that's, you know, for a lot of people I've talked to, and I know that everybody out there listening probably knows somebody if they are not themselves like this.
Well, I think we all wake up and then go, okay, I'm on, ready, go.
Yep. Yeah. In a new poll, 1 in 6 people say that they feel stressed the moment they wake up. And the average person says that they need to be awake more than an average of 33 minutes before feeling human. Quote, unquote, feeling human. Part of that could be the alarm. 51% of people say that they deliberately use an aggressively loud alarm because they're so tired in the morning. And 66% say that they sleep through the first alarm at least twice a week. Most people say that they struggle with sleepiness when they first get up and need something to start the day, like a shower, breakfast, a cup of coffee, or even simply brushing their teeth or splashing water in their face.
Mm-hmm.
More adventurous people immediately want to meditate, hit the gym, take the dog for a walk, or clean the kitchen.
Clean the kitchen?
Yeah, that part does seem a little bit of a stretch, but yeah, I could see that.
If it didn't get done the night before, I suppose I could see that. But I'm one of those people that prefer to go to bed with a clean kitchen because that would stress me out if I woke up and oh man, I got to clean the kitchen before I can make coffee. Not cool.
Much rather get it done before bed. Yeah, I hear you on that. I appreciate this article because I think this is again one of those things that brings us closer together and people realize they're not alone in this one, especially with a topic like this where you think that you're not normal. You know, everybody else seems to wake up just fine. Why am I
wakes up in the morning?
You know, why do I wake up feeling this way when other people, you know, feel better?
All sunshine and rainbows.
The article doesn't get into how to get that kind of experience, how to get to that kind of thing. And because it certainly, in part, it's a case-by-case basis. Everybody's going to be different. But I think finding what works for you and leaning into it and giving yourself that grace is a big part of starting your day on a good note. Because there is something to be said for that, I think.
Yeah, I think part of it is definitely finding a healthy work-life balance. And being able to separate work from your home life, where you're not waking up immediately in the morning and stressed out about what you have to do for work that day, where you can take that you know, people that exercise in the morning or that go out for a walk and take, you know, can take care of some of those morning things before setting off on their work day, I envy that.
Yeah.
Because I get up at a ridiculous time in the morning to get started on the news, but to add that into my day, it's not feasible every time. Sometimes you have to pick and choose what you can do, but being able to do that and having a healthy work-life balance is something in America that we haven't talked about a ton. I think it's something that we should talk about more.
And, you know, with more studies like this coming out, maybe it does create more conversation. I mean, I know that's part of why we're bringing it up on the air here. You know, it's part of also what is going to get us to, you know, get this through our thick skulls. Because there's many of us that are kind of stuck in this. And what is today? It's National Train Your Brain Day. This is a perfect example of something that you can work on and get better at. And it's something that takes time. It's something that's not going to happen overnight, literally. It's something that you need to give yourself some grace with in doing and take your time with and be patient with.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't hurt to examine your morning routine and go, well, you know, what could I add in to help alleviate some of that stress? Maybe you don't go on social media immediately or look at the news immediately. Maybe you just take a moment to breathe and make coffee and, you know, say good morning to your loved ones.
If I think of what wakes me up the most, as long as I've been alive, it's, I love coffee. We talk a good amount about coffee on the radio here and everything. We're still looking for a coffee sponsor, by the way, out there, anybody out there listening and stuff, but, it's the splash of water in the face. That's what has always done it for me. Not just waking up in the morning, but even, resetting or anything like that. Throwing some cold water in my face does it every time.
For me, it's putting my contacts in.
Yes. Yeah, that's a big one, too.
I don't ever actually feel fully awake until I put my contacts in.
I really hate not being able to see 2020. I really can't stand that. So I'm with you on that part, too. That's big. I will say, too, though, sometimes, like, there are certain mornings, and by this I mean, like, Saturday morning, usually, because it's the one morning that I kind of have to ease into the day, and Sunday is the one day I have to sleep in, but that has never happened. that's when my go-to is, and I take my time putting my eyes in, as I like to think of it in my head. But yeah, I'm with you on that one. Do you need your alarm? I can't remember the last time I'm awake before my alarm goes off, and I'm usually turning it off before I even need it.
You know, this is kind of the first time in a long time for me that I have had a set schedule again, where I can go to bed at a similar time and wake up at a similar time. So I have always set multiple alarms because I have a fear of sleeping through my alarm and letting people down.
I hear you.
Because I don't have backups for my job. Yeah. There's nobody up at 4 in the morning that's going to jump in and do the news for me if I'm not there.
Yeah, I feel the same exact way about the show here. I have three alarms on my phone. I haven't never needed any of them, but just in case, because like you said, especially back in the day, not too long ago, just a year or two ago, when it was just me here. it's a responsibility to the station and our sponsors, and most importantly, our listeners. And you know, that stuff means a lot to us. Nobody is in this job that doesn't love and care about what they do. We get paid well here, but nobody's in this for the money. There's not a single soul that is in radio for money. It's at least as far as at our level. Maybe CEOs and different things might be a different story. I don't know what their paychecks look like, but I know with us, it's this is a love affair. This is something that begins there, and you stay in it because you're in love with it. And you love the audience. You love the greatest listeners in radio like we have here at WFHR. We're going to take a break. Mel and I will be back. We're going to get into some fun stuff for you. We got lined up coming up 10 healthy cereals ranked best to worst coming up for you. Ooh. Right. Yeah, it's going to be fun, Mel. Looking forward to it coming up on Mornings on WFHR.